How's it going, folks? It's the Ice Age Farmer coming at you with the July 14th Friday edition of the Ice Age Farmer update. I wanted to first get through actually quite a bit of information today. We'll start with the news. There's an M-class solar flare from some other headlines from the unprecedented algae bloom that is killing cattle in Oregon to the crop losses, the Mormon crickets that are a pest that are causing ridiculous amounts of damage and are hitting record high levels right now. We'll also talk about Mark Zuckerberg visiting a farm, and you'll see why all of these are actually relevant to Ice Age farming. Then we'll go into an Ice Age farmer advisory. So some equipment that I had recommended previously turns out to be not perfectly well built to the extent that it's not insulated properly and can shock you. We'll talk about that. And then I'm going to get into some questions from folks. I wanted to follow up a little bit on Banana's question from yesterday. I sort of went off into the spirulina discussion, but speaking to whether or not aquaponics can be perfectly self-sufficient without external nutrients and things like this. We'll also talk about a question from Gabriel, who asks what kind of reflective coating I'm using back here. Also have a question from Merlin, who's a good friend of mine, who is saying, yeah, this is a very nice setup and all, but what are you going to do when the grid goes down? It's a fair question. Also heard from Jack L, who wanted to know what are the most prolific greens that should be grown in a garden. And then finally, I got some great feedback from Cheryl. I'm going to share this tomorrow. Actually, she wrote in with some sort of speaking to the issue of vitamin D yesterday. We talked about how folks in Moscow are getting seasonal affective disorder, are basically very depressed because of the lack of sunlight and probably transitively the lack of vitamin D in their diet. Vitamin D and omega-3 turn out to be a good way to get those. So Cheryl has some ideas on where to source that. Specifically, she raises goats, so we'll hear more about that tomorrow. All right, so that's the rundown. Now, let's first talk about our daily steps towards self-sufficiency, because if we want to prosper in the coming times of the grand solar minimum, and whatever it may bring, without speaking to that, we need to be taking steps now towards our self-sufficiency. And I always like to share what I'm doing right now, so, and encourage folks to share below what you're doing right now, so that we can watch and learn from each other and hold each other accountable and basically build community around this and go from there. So today, what have I been doing? Well, I consider fitness, physical fitness, very much a part of preparedness and, you know, basic human health. So I also think that you are less likely to get sick while you're operating well. And given that we're trying to prepare for any number of things, any number of possibilities, basically maximize our adaptability, I think it makes sense to be in shape because you just don't know what you might be requiring of your body in the future. So today I was out doing a quick triathlon and swam the first mile, started doing the bike part of it, and midway through took a pretty nasty spill where I basically got a little puncture wound on my ankle. So I toughed it out, let it bleed out for the rest of the bike ride. And so it was nice and, you know, it already bled out and sort of clean, flushed out a bit by the time I got ready for the run. And then I actually took some moringa leaves and applied them because I knew that they are astringent and supposed to stop bleeding. And sure enough, I made it. Actually, they didn't even, it was kind of like a natural Band-Aid. I didn't need to strap it on or anything. They stuck right to the wound and stayed there the entire 10K run.
Now I am one with the plant.
So that was fantastic. I probably will go still take a shower now, but there's a, you know, unexpected use of moringa, which is just another reason that these guys are terrific powerhouses to bring into your preparedness. All right. Again, what are you doing? Tell me below. Let's build this path forward. All right. Now, the news. There are plenty of channels, as you know, talking about what's going on, symptoms of the grand solar minimum. I encourage you to watch them. Adapt 2030 is impeccable in his coverage of the crop losses and the advancing symptoms and the science, and he's worth watching. There are others as well. I leave it to you to find them. If you found me, you're well on your way. But there are some events that I think are worthy of sharing in this context, here at Ice Age Farmer, because they speak to the ways in which we need to be preparing for the times ahead, which is our focus. Specifically, the algae bloom that is killing heads of cattle in Lake County, Oregon, something that county officials have said has never been seen. You know, this is the first reported case of this algae killing cattle. It is a result of having several seasons of drought and then now very heavy rainfalls that they are seeing this blue-green algae that is fatal if ingested by cows, which is what's happening. So this isn't, the reason I bring this up is it's one example of sort of an unexpected result when climate changes. suddenly these things that hadn't even been thought of before in Lake County, Oregon. That's a beautiful area of the country. I actually love Lake County. It's right where it's sort of the northeast corner of California meets Oregon. And down into Modoc County is just gorgeous. It's gorgeous and it's elevated. So if you're looking to get away from the very west coast and into the hills, check out Modoc County. But, you know, it is California prices. I wish it were cheap because it's just gorgeous. Okay, also, another thing that is sort of an example of what a complex system we live in and how there are going to be things that you and I just cannot right now imagine that are results of these changes in the patterns of the sun and the moving magnetic poles. It's just impossible for anyone to say exactly what's going on with any certainty. And this other example is this. Mormon crickets, which are usually on an 8-year cycle, are clocking in at record levels. These are a pest that are damaging crops, lots of crop damage down there. And as well, they are like when swarms of them are on the road, it becomes a virtual ice. So you can hydroplane over these crickets and there are accidents going on. So this is something that's going on right now and the reason that there are record levels of these crickets, it's thought, I should say, is that the eggs were protected by the especially heavy snowfall this past winter. So again, these are examples of things that you just wouldn't have thought of. We live in an immensely complex system, and it's impossible, like I said, with any certainty. It's totally non-deterministic from our point of view. You change this one thing, it's the butterfly effect. Only not in like massive chaos fractal theory. I don't know. Let's just leave it there. It's enough, I think. But the changing conditions will result, suffice to say, in unexpected behaviors in the complex system called reality that we live in. I already mentioned the M-class flare. There's plenty of folks talking about that. I'm going to leave that there. But do be looking for electrical outages like we saw on April 21st when there was a flare. And it was actually not even a powerful one. And electrical systems across many like districts, 21 cities, I think, were out of power that day, including here in San Francisco. All right. So Mark Zuckerberg visited a farm in Wisconsin today. This is a little ridiculous. And one of his main takeaways was the incredible discipline of the farm people, how they woke up at the crack of dawn and started working the land and worked deep into the night. And I guess this is coming from a man who's probably never worked a day in his life. But baby, when you have that first salad from your organic garden, when you taste the fruits of your labor and you taste the freedom that is in those fruits, then when you just want more, you want more. And when you go days at a time only eating food that you've sourced and grown yourself and know exactly what's in them and how they were prepared, it's worth it. I'm telling you, it's worth it. And you feel great and you just want to keep moving further down this line. And that's the goal here. More broadly, I think there's something really interesting about the timing here. We see big investments in indoor farming, as I keep mentioning, Bezos, Eric Schmidt from Google and Amazon. Are investing in vertical farming. We have Zuckerberg starting to talk about the importance of knowing where his food comes from. Right as NASA is talking about the solar minimum and how the sun is doing weird things. And this is all sort of happening right as the crops are being decimated at insane levels, like the 75% of the Georgia peach crop loss. Georgia peach, that's what they're known for. And the crops are you know, 3/4 of them are gone. This is, it feels like they're broadcasting sort of the pre-scripting. They're putting in place the template. I want to know where my food comes from. Oh, the sun's doing weird things. And we're building vertical farming. And if you just sort of project this agenda out, I don't know. It looks like they are putting the pre-scripting in there for mass crop losses, for the resulting food shortages and the famines and the social unrest that will accompany that. But we'll keep an eye on it. Speaking of crop losses, briefly, I just wanted to mention that when we see stuff like 3/4 of the crop is lost, there's also an unspecified, within that remaining 25%, there's a possibility that the crop that's left is not up to par, right? So we're seeing huge rains in Germany right now. It's not killing the wheat, but it is drastically reducing the protein value, which means you can eat this stuff, but it's not nutritive to your body. It's just not it's not what it used to be. Keep an eye also on right now on the southern hemisphere. Australia is having a hell of a winter. They're all over the headlines right now. Chile also is breaking all sorts of records that were set in like 1924. This is what we're going to, I fear, what we're going to see for our winter coming up here in 5 months or so. We'll it doesn't bode well. So start getting ready now if you need to. And with that, let's close out the news there. All right, next was an Ice Age Farmer Advisory, a piece of equipment that I'd formerly recommended, specifically these 45-watt LED Kingbo lights. Turn out not to be perfectly insulated, and so if you have them mounted, as I do, on these metal shelves, then in the event the imperfectly insulated corner of the light touches the metal shelves, then you can literally shock yourself just by walking up and watering your microgreens, which I've done. So I actually I took a video of my multimeter showing like 1.4 amps or something ridiculous going through me as I touch this, but I can't find that video. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I had specifically called out this light as an affordable and functional just great way to start growing the microgreens, especially respond well to it. I've got these things mounted under the spirulina over here as well. That's what's fueling these guys. And I've since learned that white light would be more effective for the algae, but the dual 45-watt LED grow lights are doing quite well, actually. So that's where they are right now. All right, speaking of electric shock, I also had an event where the water heater that I put down into my duckweed had gone down to a level where it was not sufficiently covering that heater. So that thing cracked, and when I reached in to play with the duckweed, I got a nice shock. So there's another, while we're on the subject of electrical shock risk in the indoor farming, watch out for broken heaters. All right, all that said, let's go to the questions from folks. Really thrilled with the amount of questions. Let's get into them. Gabriel L. was asking, what is the reflective lighting in front of which you are sitting? And the short answer is, it's a form of insulation. I noticed that some of the friends of mine who are very much into growing more profitable crops, less edible crops, basically the best indoor growers I know all use very reflective indoor surfaces. You can definitely use aluminum foil. It's equally reflective, but like scratches very easily. You know, if you look at it wrong, like it just tears. And so you have to mess with it quite a bit. So this is a bit more expensive, but it also has some thermal properties. I wanted to, in fact, here is the cover. I'll show it up now. And I thought it's worth noting that among its uses, when you use it in a radiant floor, so underneath the circulating pipes under a radiant heat floor, it has an R value of 21. So I have a feeling we might be revisiting this material or something like it, hopefully cheaper, when we explore how to build a radiant heated greenhouse, possibly using water circulated through a solar water heater or even a compost heater, a couple of them. All right, next question is from Merlin, who's a great friend of mine, and asks or says, hey, nice setup, but what are you going to do when the grid goes down? Great question. This ties back a lot to what I was saying in the intro, which is that the biggest skill we can work on right now to maximize our chances of prospering in the times ahead is beyond our knowledge, is just the amount of the flexibility with which we operate. Right. So I've definitely got some moringas outside. I've got some inside. His comment makes me realize that I should be focusing more on what this would look like outside. So I'm going to start that greenhouse, and we'll see we'll start exploring more of those low power or off grid entirely methods. Right now, I do have some solar on the roof here that's driving some of this, but certainly not all. And so, you know, if you explore I think all of this needs to be guided not by here's how it's done, but here are some guiding philosophies. And when you take any of the stuff that's going on behind me and say, well, how does this possibly work without on-grid electricity? You know, I think the spirulina, you put it outside and it's getting sunshine instead of artificial lighting, and it's being heated by the sun. And yeah, it goes to sleep at night and it produces less because of that. It gets cool at night. But you can, or you keep it in the greenhouse, and the greenhouse is heated by the compost heaters. You just, all of these things will be adapted to work in whatever, to the extent that they can, in whatever situation you need to you find yourself. And that is why getting them to work now when conditions are ideal is very important. So I think it's time, I think Merlin is right, it's time to start a greenhouse where whatever daylight, whatever sunlight we do get by day, we can take advantage of. So in the winter when that's short, maybe we're capturing some extra sunlight with solar panels, and then extending even the daylight by adding, using that, that storing that power, and then at the end and the beginning of the day, using that to give some artificial light and basically make a longer day than it's actually getting from the sun. I don't know, I'm looking forward to exploring that with you, and let's talk more about that. There's certainly a lot to be explored with an off-grid setup. And it doesn't have to be as extreme as, you know, the EMP situation. If you're interested in that, then go read Patriots. It's a totally different world. I think we need to look here at how we can take steps every day, and that way, no matter how many days we actually have, we've made some progress. But I stress, let's start now taking those steps. All right. Final question of the day is from Jack L, who asks, what are the most prolific greens to grow in your survival garden? I'm going to sort of take a cop-out here and say that there are folks who answered this question better than I possibly could already on YouTube. And so if that's, for whatever reason, the only domain of knowledge you pull from, just go search for other folks. Growing Your Greens has some great stuff. Nate Story actually has a Survivopedia article exactly on how to maximize the calories that come out of your soil garden. So take a look around. You can find some good explanations. I'll give you a couple places to start. Things that I really like are places where, because they're space efficient as well as prolific, is, well, actually, for being prolific, the moringas, I can't get enough of those. But in terms of like more regular vegetables, I feel like it's cheating when you get to harvest twice. So when you look at like a radish, where the greens are edible and nutritive, and then at the end of it, you get the radish out, the tuber out. That's awesome. Sweet potatoes are like a bigger version of the same thing. They grow over the season. You get to pick these edible, delicious sweet potato greens, and then this huge bonus at the end. It's like a special surprise bonus at the end of the season. You get these massive tubers, and they're delicious. I love sweet potatoes. Very great for you too, right? So I feel like those are really maximizing your space and sort of cheating in terms of how much you get out of those things. Another one that I'm looking into right now, I tweeted about this not too long ago and got some good feedback on it from someone who's been growing it successfully and claims it is as prolific as the document, you know, it says out there, is Holland Greens. I hope to follow up. I've already planted some, and I'll let you know how it grows. Holland Greens Typhon, something that is apparently grows ridiculously fast and is nutritive, and you know, that's an experiment. We'll see how that plays out, but what I've heard is good, so feel free to check into it as well. Let's leave that there. I want to thank everyone for their questions. Please feel free to send me your questions at iceagefarmer@gmail.com. and with that, this has been the Ice Age Farmer, mapping a path to prosperity in the times ahead. In the grand solar minimum, spread the word about what's going on to your friends and family. Their preparedness will help you and yours. And spread the word about the Ice Age Farmer. Please share this video. Let people know what's going on. This is an open, continuing dialogue, and we need to bring in folks from all walks of life and leverage all sorts of expertise. So I invite you to extend an invitation to your friends, and let's kickstart this conversation, because we seem to be lower on time than we'd like, and got a lot to do. Take care.